Welcome to the Mind Blown Podcast, where curiosity leads and discoveries follow. I'm Melanie Avalon, biohacker, author, and health influencer. And I'm joined by Scott Immens, entrepreneur, health enthusiast, and seeker of the unknown. Together, we're here to take you on a journey to the very edges of science, technology, philosophy, history, and beyond. Did you know in the minute it takes to introduce this podcast, around 6 million Google searches will be conducted, and at the end of 90 minutes, the space station will have orbited completely around Earth? Did you know when you shuffle a deck of cards, chances are that combination has never been created before? Also, according to Einstein's theory of relativity, time doesn't pass at the same speed for everyone, depending on how fast you're moving. Or how about the idea of quantum superposition? That's that particles can actually be two places at once. So is this actually happening right here, right now? One last fun fact that actually inspired the genesis of this show. If you remember Tinkerbell dotting the I in the Walt Disney logo, that never happened. So on that note, get ready for our adventure on today's Mind Blown Podcast. Welcome back, cognitive connoisseurs, synapse surfers, and epiphany enthusiasts to the Mind Blown Podcast. I'm Melanie Avalon. We have a very special episode for you today. We are here live in Vegas. I'm here with Danielle. Danielle?
Hello. Hello. Yes, we are in Vegas in studio and it's just fab.
It's a whole vibe.
It's a whole vibe.
And we're so excited about today's topic, which is a little bit, we're basically going to talk about how you can know if other people are influencing you to make you more attracted to them without you realizing because of subconscious things that we do. So this is to make sure that other people aren't doing this to you. Not for you to do to other people. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Yeah. I'm so excited to learn about all the things.
So before we get started, Danielle, do you have a mind-blowing fact to start us off with?
Yes, I do. Okay. So, well, you know about this, Melanie, because we've talked about it before. But I'm going to tell you about the fainting goats, which... So, the fainting goats. The audience may know about these goats. But basically, they're goats that at any slight startle, they faint. And you have to go look up a video. They're so funny. They're because of a condition called, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. They have a condition where their muscles tense up. And at the slight minor, you know, scare, it could be an umbrella opening or somebody shouting, they just faint. And their muscles get stiff and they just fall over.
So if you look online, just type in fainting goats and basically they'll just be doing their business and then they just fall over and they freeze. And it's like the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like when I'm sad, I just look at pictures of fainting goats.
And Melanie, did you know, this might actually be surprising to you. Did you know that they were bred that way on purpose?
No.
Yeah. So I threw in a little bit of a fun fact that maybe would have surprised you. So they were bred that way on purpose so that they would like stay contained and not run away and they could be more controlled and not jump
fences. That's horrible.
Yeah.
That's literally like the worst thing I've ever heard.
I know. It's so sad. It's true though.
Okay. So I will rate this fact. So for the mind-blowing scale, I already knew about the fainting goats, but now that I know that they were bred that way so that they won't escape, that's horrible. That's like if they changed humans so that if you... we're going to try to leave, you lock up.
Yeah.
Okay, that's horrible.
I know.
So I will give that I give the fainting goats a solid 8.3.
Okay. Acceptable.
Okay.
What about the new fun fact?
My fun fact?
No, the new one that I added in about that it was bred that way.
I think just, okay, 8.5.
Nice.
Ready for mine?
Let's hear it.
I have an animal one as well.
Let's hear it.
So you know the joke, why did the chicken cross the road?
Yes.
Did you know that it is actually a joke?
I don't know what you mean.
Okay. So people think that joke is a joke. It's famous because it's not a joke. Like, it's stupid, right? Like, why did the chicken cross the road to get to the other side?
You're about to blow my mind, aren't you?
So, but do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, people think it's
saying.
Not a joke.
Yeah.
It is a joke. It's actually, like, really smart.
Wait, I know the answer.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. Because I remember this now.
Because they told you.
Probably.
Okay. Well, for the listeners. Okay. So why did the chicken cross the road to get to the other side?
The afterlife.
Yes. The chicken died.
Oh my gosh. It's so sad.
It's actually like a joke. It's like laughing in your face.
Oh my gosh. How do people not know?
I don't know. I'm like very confused why this isn't more well known.
Wow.
So yeah, I actually give this like a 10 out of 10 for myself. Like, I think this is like the most mind blowing thing I've learned. Like when I learned that when the chicken crossed the road, it actually got hit by a car.
Yeah. Well,
and that the joke is actually a joke.
I'm going to give it a 9.9.
Thank you.
Only because it basically is a 10, but we're just going to go with 9.9. Remember,
9.9999999
is 10. Is 10. That's why I did it.
Other mind-blowing fact. Okay. 9.99999 is the same in math as 10.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing.
So basically, you got a 10.
Okay. Hi, friends. If you've been wanting to try my Avalon X Spirulina or are already obsessed like me and want a portable, travel-friendly version, we now have a mini size available. I am so excited about this. I am obsessed with spirulina because it is one of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet. In fact, it is so nutrient-dense that NASA worked with it to help support the nutrition of the astronauts in space. It is a powerhouse. We're talking a complete vegan protein where a serving contains 625% of your daily vitamin B12. Yes, vegan B12, over 1,500% of your daily vitamin A, 100% of your hard-to-get vitamin K, and over half of your daily iron. And it's not just that. It also contains potent longevity compounds, things like glutathione, superoxide dismutase, CoQ10, GLA, and so much more. It's almost shocking how incredible spirulina is for your body. So much of our health and longevity involves meeting our nutrient status, and spirulina can help you do that. It supports energy, immunity, even beauty and detox. It took a long time to develop our spirulina because I was obsessive with getting the purest, highest quality spirulina out there. I searched high and low and found the perfect version of spirulina. It comes from the pristine, clean waters of Hawaii, from an extremely environmentally sustainable production facility, and it is purity tested to the max. Not only is it tested by the facility, we third-party tested it for over 70 pesticides, as well as heavy metals and mold. And the new mini version is so cute, so it's an amazing way to try it if you haven't tried it, or if you want to buy a smaller order, or if you want to travel with it, it's the way to go. It comes in beautiful glass bottles to help prevent leaching of plastics into ourselves and the environment. And by the way, it tastes amazing. Yes, I tasted so many different ones. You can get spirulina, including the large bag and this new mini size, at avalonx.us. Use the coupon code MelanieAvalon to get 10% off. And you can get text updates when you text AvalonX to 877-861-8318. And doing that will get you a one-time 20% off coupon code. You can also get email list updates at avalonx.us/email list. I can't wait for you guys to try this spirulina. Grab the mini version now. Use the coupon code MelanieAvalon for 10% off at avalonx.us. Ready for today's topic?
Let's do it.
Everything we're going to talk about are things that, like I said, subconsciously influence how people affect each other with attraction. So the first one I'm doing, and this is in honor of Vegas. I actually learned about it with processed foods and how they make food more addictive. So that's a whole tangent, but it's the idea of addiction and what makes things most addictive. And when it comes to gambling, for example, Vegas, what do you think is the most addictive return rate for winning on a slot machine?
Let me think about it for a sec. Maybe like you win at the beginning and then you don't win for a while.
Okay, so like what percent of the time should you win to make you keep coming back to the machine? Like 30% of the time, 50%, 70%? And then I will extend this to my theory about people.
Okay, I'm just going to go with, let's say 15% of winning.
15%. Yeah. So yeah. You think 15% of the time that will keep you coming back the most.
Yeah, I'm changing it to 20, but yes, that is my final answer.
So the correct answer is 50-50.
Whoa.
So if you win 50% of the time, you're most likely to get addicted. So my solution here, I'm not saying to do this, but you know how you will stress about, like, if you get a text message, like, do I answer? Do I not answer? Do I wait? So my approach is 50% of the time when they text you, text right back. The other 50% of the time,
wait.
It's either like the smartest thing or like the biggest red flag.
No, okay. Well, here's the thing. So, and there's like another layer to it, because basically 50% of the time that you think to do this, I think you should do this. And I think that will naturally like create a very like varied, unpredictable.
That's why I'm saying red flag.
Keep them wanting you more.
It's like what the disorganized attachment style where they're just like chaotic.
Yeah. So I'm just saying. Okay. So that's one thing. And then, And you know, we stress about texting. There is also like we stress about texting too much. So that first thing is saying like, don't stress, because 50-50, you're good. The second reason you shouldn't stress too much is the exposure effect. Do you know what the exposure effect is?
Well, you mentioned it to me recently, and I've really been thinking about it in my relationships, and it's real. Let's hear it.
So the exposure effect is basically the idea that the more we are exposed to something, the more we like it. So even something you might not even like, the more you're exposed to it, you'll start liking it. So if you text the people more, like if you're texting them daily at a 50-50 cadence, you got the exposure effect, you got the variability effect.
I feel like there's a fine line though, because I feel like you could go too much that it's like annoying. But yeah. Are you saying like...
That's why you got to bring in the 50-50.
Okay. Okay. So like a conflation.
I think like, so make yours, and I can't pretend anymore that we're doing this to like, I'm just saying how to do things. No.
Power just, yeah, it's just not theoretical.
I couldn't keep that up.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's my thing. Like, I think you should keep you constant daily in their life. So they're going to think about you every day. And then when they're texting you, use the 50-50 to...
Oh, there you go.
Because then when they text you, they don't know what they're going to get.
Here's something else too, I will say. I think I've kind of adopted the mentality of like just text back whenever I feel like it.
That is kind of like the 50-50.
Oh, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Because that's how it naturally has happened.
Creates the 50-50 effect.
Yeah, it has.
Which I guess I named it the 50-50 effect. It's not called that. That's not like...
Trademark that.
You know. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So also when you're talking to them, use this. People know this, I think, but like use their name. They'll like you more.
Oh, that works with people in general. So I started doing that in general with everybody, and I have noticed like really big effects.
Yeah.
Yeah. People like it. People love it.
And speaking of names, we also know that people are attracted to people whose name starts with their initial.
Wow.
Like we like things like ourselves. And so not that I'm talking to somebody right now, but not that his name also starts with an M, and not that you were talking to somebody, and not that his name also started with a D. I actually
just thought about that just now.
Yeah,
it feels accurate because there's other people that don't start with a D, and I'm like, oh, I did have a reaction to the name.
Yep.
Subconsciously.
Okay, friends, I have some mind-blowing and scary facts about your skincare and makeup. Did you know that there's essentially no regulation of skincare and makeup in the US, and that most skincare and makeup products are high in endocrine disruptors, which mess with your hormones? These are compounds which are linked to hormonal disruption, thyroid issues, fertility issues, autoimmune conditions, and even cancer. And they are rampant in our skincare and makeup. That's right. When you're putting on that skincare and makeup to supposedly support your skin and help it look better, you actually could be doing damage to your skin and your body and your health. It is a massive problem today. And ladies, if you're thinking of having children, these compounds actually pass through the placenta into the newborn, setting up our children with a toxic burden from birth. And these compounds can last in our system for years and years. In one study, testing conventional lipsticks, for example, most were found to be high in lead. And the half-life of lead is up to 30 years. That means when you put on some conventional lipstick, 30 years later, maybe half of that lead has left your bones. There's also a legal loophole from the 1960s where companies can put whatever they want in products and don't have to tell you what it is. They just put it under the label fragrance. This is why safe skincare and makeup is so important to me, and I am so passionate about a company called Crunchy. Their standards are impeccable. Crunchy products contain no toxic ingredients, which they define as any ingredient known to cause harm or health hazard based on available ingredient data and research. Each ingredient actually undergoes a 30-step screening criteria for safety. All the products are gluten-free, with third-party lab testing comparable to food standards. A ton of their products are non-GMO, just look for the badge on their website, and all of their products are vegan, except for their lip oil, which contains organic beeswax from humanely sourced regenerative beekeeping. All of their products are also Leaping Bunny certified cruelty-free with no animal testing and made in the USA, with the exception of wooden pencils and accessories, which are made in American-owned factories in Germany with extremely high social, ethical, and environmental standards. And they use sustainable and environmentally conscious packaging with no plastic for primary packaging. Their products are also incredible. They make, hands down, the best mascara I have ever tried. Their Golden Light Multi-Peptide Facial Serum will make your skin glow. They also have an incredible daylight facial cream and nightlight facial cream, and an awesome makeup cleansing balm. You can check out their foundation as well, and their incredible sunscreen products. If you want safe sunscreen, you've got to try Crunchy. You can shop with me at crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon. That's crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon. And new customers can use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 to get 10% off eligible orders. New customers with me will also receive a gift from me after your first purchase. So again, for the ultimate in safe skincare and beauty, go to crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon and use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 for 10% off, as well as a free gift from me. For all the latest discounts, specials, and announcements from me in the world of safe skincare and clean beauty, definitely get on my email list. That's at melanieavalon.com/cleanbeauty. For all the latest text updates, just text skincare, one word, to 877-861-8318. That's the word skincare to 877-861-8318.
So we like people who remind us of ourselves, which also
we love ourselves.
So here's something else. We like talking about ourselves, and it actually activates the same parts of our brain as food and sex. So if you're talking to somebody, let them talk about themselves. They will subconsciously associate you now with like liking and with food and sex.
Okay, totally see that. I didn't know the association that you mentioned, but I do know that the golden rule is like get people talking about themselves and they will feel like the conversation went great. Yeah. And now I know it's like a psychological thing.
And speaking of the conversation going great, do you know what you should do at the very end of the conversation?
Oh, I love this guessing game question. Maybe reflect back something like that,
that they could
said.
It could be integrated into this approach.
What is it?
So people most remember the ending of an experience, which actually, because when I first learned about this, I learned about it with jobs. And so like you could have a job for like 5 years and it's great. And then it ends on a bad note. And the person is going to forever remember that, like they're going to make that whole 5 years be a negative in their head.
Yeah.
So when you end the conversation with this person that you're attracted to, you should make sure that it's like a really high note of like laughter or like. It's got to be something like emotionally resonant that's like very positive.
Okay, that makes sense. That tracks. I'm thinking about my past experiences.
Casey, oh, sorry. Deal. I'm thinking now, like, can you, you're like on a date and like the date's over, like, bye.
Wait,
run. And you're like fainting goats.
I have to tell you something.
And then you leave.
I feel like I'm always going to think about this now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we have to end this podcast on a happy note.
We do. And we need to. Okay, both of us need to have something in mind as like an emergency go-to if the date ends
on a like bad note.
Yeah, so that you can...
Mine's painting goats.
Like you would just like bring it up as like a conversation piece?
I'd be like, yeah.
But like, let's say you're in the car and the guy gets out because you're dropping him off or whatever. And you're not going to roll down your window and be like, wait, let me tell you about painting goats.
You're talking to me. I would do that.
Yeah. Oh my god. Okay, well I'm gonna think of something to have.
Okay. Want some more things?
Yeah.
So other things you can do in your conversations. And this one actually is like a double win because not only is it gonna make the person like you more, but you're gonna get stuff out of it.
Okay.
The Benjamin Franklin effect.
I do know about this one.
Oh, do you know what it is?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's where if I do a favor for you, then I will like you more.
Yes. So basically the people you're attracted to, ask them to do things for you.
Yeah.
And apparently it's more nuanced than that. Apparently it's actually better, rather than asking for help for something, it's actually better to just ask for advice. that also sparks the Benjamin Franklin effect. And what's crazy is like I do that, and I think I was doing it like, okay, if there's like a, if like this is subconscious and this is conscious and there's like something right in between, I think I was like sort of aware that when I ask for advice, I'm doing it to make them like me more.
I would move that to conscious, honestly. No, because I do it too. Like, I feel like you always know.
But I do want advice.
I know, but like...
Okay, so we're lying to ourselves about why we do things.
It's like killing two birds with one stone. This is making me think too, this applies... This is not just romantic relationships, you know. This is every relationship.
Yeah.
These aspects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people. These tools. Mm-hmm. These are people tools. Yeah.
So, do you want some physical attraction things?
Oh, yes. I'm excited.
So, voices. Do you think?
I'm excited. I'm excited. I don't know the answer.
I mean, this is not that surprising, but women like lower male voices, especially during ovulation. Mm. Men like higher voices, but here's the interesting thing: we subconsciously adjust our voice. So, like, you're a girl and you're my sister, so I'm probably not like doing any of this. But like, if you were a man, I would get more high. I would make my voice higher, and I would get more sing-songy like this, without even realizing. Yeah,
it.
And men get lower, and they also try to use fewer filler words.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that was like a curveball. I know. Fact.
Yeah.
Oh.
And here's something else. So we actually remember, people are better remembering, this is like very specific, I'm not sure exactly what it means, but it was people are better at remembering when someone said that they found their voice attractive. They remember the person better. So like if I think your voice is attractive, mm-hmm. like, or a man's voice is attractive, I'm going to remember them better.
Okay. No, I totally see that. So
voices are... super important.
Yeah.
Physically, I think people know this, but if you wear red,
yeah,
that psychologically makes people more attracted to you.
Wait.
And I noticed that. Like, if you're in a room and like a girl in a red dress walks in, do you not look at her? Like,
yeah, I'll look at her.
Yeah.
Wait, this reminds me of a conversation you and I had.
About what?
You one time said you don't understand why all women, you know, in this sort of situation don't decide to wear red lipstick. And I said, I don't understand why you wouldn't decide to wear a black leather jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, like, that's the thing that I feel like is the eye turner if you walk in with like a black leather jacket.
Right. But evolution supports red.
I know.
Which is like not in my favor because I only wear black dresses usually.
Oh, right.
But I wear the red lipstick.
Yeah. We need to both buy some more red dresses.
I know. I do have a solid collection of red dresses.
Why do more women not wear red?
I used to only wear red or black or pink. And red, when I wore red, it was for this reason. Hmm. So some other more like physical things. This one is fascinating. I think people might know this, but there's something called the MHC genes. And they have to do with... a lot with how we are paired with somebody evolutionarily, and we are most attracted to people with opposite MHC genes. So, and we sense them through pheromones, which is like the smell of somebody-ish, sort of. It's like chemical messengers that are in our scent. And so they've done, I think it's a kind of a famous study, but they've done a study where they had women smell t-shirts of like different men, and they were most attracted to men that were the opposite MHC genes. And here's where the crazy thing comes in. Do you know what happens with birth control?
Oh, what?
It changes all of what we're attracted to with pheromones. It makes them more attracted to people who are like nurturing and like can like raise the baby rather than super masculine. So what happens with that is you might, if you're on birth control and then you're like dating around, you actually might not be pairing up with the person that you're most like erotically, romantically attracted to. And then if you go off birth control, you can find yourself not attracted to your partner. And it's because you never actually were attracted without the birth control messing up what you're attracted to.
Wow. So when you're on the birth control, you're attracted more to a nurturing?
You want like a father to like... take care of the children that you have.
But how does that make sense? Because birth control would equate to less children.
Well, it's just messing with your hormonal cycle, and it's putting you into a state where I guess it's probably the equivalent of like, because when you have a kid and you don't have your cycle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's more, okay, yeah, right.
So you're not in your like, right. You're not in your like, let me have, okay. I'm not talking about like having the baby. I'm talking about like you have the baby now.
Yeah.
So you want the dad to take care of the kid.
Yep. Yep. That makes sense.
So women will be on birth control. They'll never like meet a man that they're like erotically, romantically wanting them to have a child with them at that the sex. It's about the sex.
It's about the sex. That makes sense.
So if you're on birth control and then you have a child and everything, and then you go off birth control, you might not be attracted to your partner anymore, is the takeaway.
Wow. That's actually...
because you were never erotically attracted to them in the first place.
That's really important for people to know.
Yeah.
Really important.
Yeah. So...
I bet people... this happens to people, and they just don't really know what happened.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they get divorced.
Yeah. Let's educate the world.
Yeah. So other physical things. So... oh, I love this one. Have you heard of the misattribution theory?
Maybe. Let's hear it.
So this is the idea that the feeling of excitement and adrenaline in our body that we get from like nerves or a roller coaster is also very similar to the feeling. I mean, it's like the same feeling that we get when we like somebody. So if you are like with a person you're attracted to and you like go on a roller coaster or you have anxiety or you get stressed, you can actually misattribute that feeling to like romantic feelings.
Oh my gosh, I have a thought on that.
What?
So I follow on Instagram, I follow a lot of like, you know, healing your attachment style and everything. And one of them recently said, when you get those nerves, it's not because you really like the person, it's because of X, Y, and Z. It's basically, it doesn't have to do with you being necessarily being excited about being the meeting the person. It actually might have to do with like your own attachment styles and other things coming up, totally unrelated to the person. So you saying this makes me realize those nerves and being excited might not necessarily equate to like it's your lifelong partner.
Exactly.
Wow.
And you could also, if you want to, you know, increase the attraction with the person you're with, you could be like, let's go on a roller coaster.
Let's go on a roller coaster.
Or let's like go do to a haunted house or like go ghost hunting. And the adrenaline will like transfer.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense too. If you have a really boring date and there's not a lot of like adrenaline, you're going to walk away being like, that was kind of boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And similarly, you can actually instantly form a connection with somebody by sharing secrets and sharing like... you've heard of trauma bonding.
Yeah.
But it like immediately makes you feel closer to the person.
Oh, that tracks. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So share lots of secrets.
Share lots.
On a first date.
Lots of secrets.
Thrilling announcement, friends. My EMF blocking product line is finally here. And I'm going to tell you how you can get 10% off. Did you know that EMFs are considered a type 2B carcinogen by the IARC? They are linked to so many health issues, including headaches, migraines, fatigue, and even potential fertility issues. Thankfully, there are a lot of ways to reduce your exposure, and one of the best ways is to not use Bluetooth AirPods. And also, do not put your phone by your head. In fact, did you know that if you look in your iPhone, go to the legal section, and then RF exposure, Apple literally suggests that you use hands-free options like speakerphone, headphones, or other similar accessories to reduce your exposure to EMFs. Yes, it says this in your iPhone. And here's the other thing. Even wired headphones, being digital, can conduct EMFs into your head. That's why I made Avalon X EMF-free air tubes. They're basically like your normal wired headphones, but they turn into analog closer to your ear, so it stops transmission of EMFs into your head. I'm launching with black ones and rose gold. You can use adapters to make them fit any phone. And the reason this launch took so long, we're talking actually years, is because I was so neurotic on getting good sound quality. I cannot even tell you how many different prototypes I tried, but we finally have them and you can get them now. Go to AvalonXEMF.us and use the code Melanie Avalon to get 10% off. That's AvalonXEMF.us with the coupon code Melanie Avalon to get 10% off. That link will actually redirect to my partner's website at Shield Your Body, and that coupon code Melanie Avalon will get you 10% off site-wide for all of their EMF blocking products, including my air tubes. AvalonXEMF.us with the coupon code Melanie Avalon for 10% off. Okay, this one I like. Have you heard of the pratfall effect?
Definitely not.
So this one makes me feel so good. We actually are more attracted to people if they make a small mistake.
Oh, I believe it.
It's because it humanizes them and yeah. We think it's vulnerable. And they actually did a study where they looked at emails. This is interesting. So if you have a typo in an email, what do you think it does to the other person who receives it? Or we could apply this to texting. So say you're texting your person.
Okay. Well, that's... Well, because you've started to tell me a little bit about it, I feel like I might know the answer. With texting, I feel two things. One, I feel like they don't care, maybe because they didn't like check their text a million times to check for typos. But with an email.
I literally like...
Wait, what?
I'm like,
why are you laughing?
Because whenever if I'm like texting a man for the first time and there's a typo, I'm like...
Really? Wait, do you mean typo like... Okay, do you mean typo like grammatically incorrect or typo is as in like there's a Z thrown in there? There's a difference.
And I think I'm messing up like because this is actually about emails and like a typo in like a professional email. So I don't know if it, how much it transfers over. But
because if somebody texts me and does Y-O-U-R instead of Y-O-apostrophe-R-E, I will judge them.
Or like there.
Yeah, I will judge. Yeah, it'll make me like them less.
So this might. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what the email study found. They found that if there was a typo, if they liked the person, it made them like them more. If they didn't like the person, it made them dislike them more.
I feel like we're talking more of a typo like they did like street and added a Z at the end. Like not a grammar.
Like a spelling in it. Like a grammar typo.
Really?
Mm-hmm, in an email.
I feel like it might not be. I feel like it could just be like your finger slipped.
No. So it was like if there was like a... In an email, a grammar error. So you know how like I'm like, neurotic about grammar in emails? And I'm like, so if there was a word that was just a grammar error, then...
You would like them more.
You like them more if you like them. You like them less if you don't like them.
Interesting. I just feel like I like people less if they make grammatical errors.
We're horrible. Don't listen to us. Okay.
Don't make grammatical errors if you want to date me.
Yeah. Okay, a few other quick things. So we're going to change the subject. Let's see. So, well, we're more likely to like people who like us. So if you show interest,
yeah,
that's in your favor. So nodding while listening subconsciously makes them feel validated and like you more. And, oh, this one is so important. And I think about this all the time. This is the spontaneous trait transfer effect.
Oh,
it's basically if you talk about somebody else, the person will ascribe whatever you're saying about them to you.
Oh.
So if you're talking good about somebody like Danielle is so great, that person's going to think you're great. But if I'm like Danielle's like horrible and I say bad things about you, they're actually going to subconsciously attribute those things to you.
Whoa.
Which has actually, I've known this for a while and it actually makes me like terrified of talking bad about anybody.
Well, this makes sense. And also, I think talking bad about people in general, you know, kind of makes you think like, oh, are they going to talk bad about me? Yeah. Do they talk bad about people?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and then on top of that, it's like double points. So say you talk good about somebody. Say I'm talking about how kind Danielle is. The person's going to think I'm kind. And then also there's something called the halo effect. Are you familiar?
Yeah.
What is it? It's a quiz.
I don't know.
Okay. I didn't think you knew. Danielle?
No. Do you want to tell them?
Yeah, I will tell them. Danielle does this thing where if you ask her a question, she will very confidently answer it. And it's just not accurate.
No, let me clarify. And this is a true aspect about me. 50% of the time, I'm right. 50% of the time, I'm not.
But when you're wrong, you're so wrong.
It's a wager.
The example, and this is a teaser for next week's episode.
By the way.
When we went to the Taylor Swift concert, we went to the bathroom beforehand. We thought we had time to go. And we were in the bathroom. And I was like, are they going to start on time? And she was like, oh, they're not going to start on time. I was like, are you sure? Like, no, they don't start on time.
They started on time.
They started early.
And that's Melanie fine. Continues to ask me questions now and continues to allow me to 50-50 answer confidently or be right or wrong 50% of the time.
But I will say just now when I answered you, I really did think I knew it.
I know.
And then I didn't.
I'll tell you.
Okay.
So the halo effect is, okay, if someone is attractive, if someone is attractive to us, we automatically give them other traits that we haven't verified yet.
Ooh.
So if we're attracted to the person, we're going to think they're like kind and intelligent and all the things, even if we have zero evidence of it.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. So okay. Basically, it's in your favor to be attractive.
Okay. So be attractive. Got it. Let me try to do that.
Or have people attracted to you.
Wait, do you mean physically or mentally or everything? Emotionally?
I thought this meant like if they had one nice trait, you got the other traits. But I think it actually, it says if someone is attractive. So.
Okay.
I guess if you're attracted to them physically, you're going to think that they are these other good things.
Okay. So be attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can also use the spotlight effect to your advantage. And this is like, I guess, a good way to end it, which is that people often have an internal spotlight on themselves, not others. So it's in your benefit to do what you just did and just be confident. And that is going to radiate and make people attracted to you.
Okay. So I'm doing something right.
Mess up, just like, just don't even acknowledge it.
Melanie, you know this. I have like an uncanny amount of confidence in social situations. And I think it is working in my favor. So,
yeah, so keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on.
So yeah. Those are ways you can spice up the attractiveness.
This might be one of my favorite episodes so far.
It's very helpful.
That was so fun.
And the purpose, again, is so that you don't want people doing this to you without you realizing.
The purpose is so that you gain more friends and No, I'm kidding.
No, we're actually really nice people. I can't.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a horrible thing to say, I feel.
We're actually not mean. Actually, yeah. Legitimately, we are kind people.
I would never want to like manipulate somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not about manipulation.
Yeah.
So seriously, we're not. Just,
yeah.
Yeah. Be kind. Be attractive. No, I'm kidding. Everyone is attractive, so.
Okay.
All right.
Well, this was amazing. I'm excited for next week.
Me too.
I will talk to you then.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Mind Blown podcast. Don't worry. Your brain can store about 1 million gigabytes of data. That's enough memory to record continuous TV shows for over 300 years. That said, psychology suggests that your memory is actually just your memory of your last memory, leading to a process called memory distortion where your memories change over time. If you're enjoying the show, remember to subscribe and write a brief review in Apple Podcasts. And definitely let us know what you find most mind-blowing.